I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn to Psalms 149 chapter. I want to talk to you. I have studied much on this topic and out home have preached along this line. And certainly I won't get to all of the things in that I'd like to. Just going to give you kind of the Reader's Digest version of this topic. But I believe this to be a very important topic, especially for young people as they're going through teenage years and going into the adulthood and seeking out companionship and seeking God's plan for their life. I'm going to read Psalms 149 chapter beginning verse 1. Psalms 149 and 1. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise you, the Lord. Now tonight I would like to turn your attention to that fourth verse and look at some important words in that verse and a thought here tonight. Psalms 149 and 4 says, the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Or we might say the Lord enjoys and rewards his people with a beauty that no man-made substitute or artificial covering can give. I once read of a Japanese girl, or a Japanese lady, I guess she was, I don't know how old she was. She called to speak with the headmistress of a missionary school, and she asked this question. She said, do you take only beautiful girls in your school? She inquired. Why no, was the response. We welcome all girls. Well, she said, but I've noticed that all girls in your school are beautiful. The woman replied, well, we teach them to love our Savior, Jesus Christ, and he gives them a look of holy beauty. The missionary replied, well, the lady said, I myself am a Buddhist. I don't desire my daughter to become a Christian and go to your school and be a Christian. But she said, I'd like her to just attend the school to get the look of beauty. And I believe this is a reply of millions of people tonight. This is a reply of thousands of young people. They desire the benefits of Christianity, but they're not willing to pay the price. And I want to talk to you a little bit tonight. Again, I say it's going to be quick talk. I'll move rapidly and leave out as much as I can here. But I want to talk to you a little bit about your self-image. And the thought tonight is intrinsic versus superficial beauty. Millions of dollars, young people, are spent every year on magazines, in the social media. Every one of us probably has one of these. Let me just show you the back of this. You guys will appreciate this. Thank you. Most of us have those, don't we? And on there are images. We see things. We're influenced, young people, ladies especially, by what we see out here. The perfect figure. The perfect look. The perfect body. The perfect biceps. The perfect image. And society points us to this in a superficial. What do I mean by that? Surface beauty. What we see. What's on the outside. And society would make a young people, I'm going to read some statistics here, that this is driving humanity, driving young people eating disorders. Amen. People's living governed by this social media, by what's put out there by media. Amen. Every one of us probably has something like this. And we look into it. I like what I see. Oh, that's beautiful. Oh, I look so pretty. Oh, my hair looks so nice. Got the right scarf on to match my skirt. My curls are fixed so nice. Oh, it looks so good. Now that's what man sees. But what does God see?
Right.
And why I believe this to be so important is young people, as we begin to seek companionship. And I'm not speaking on how to choose a companion. We could. But as we begin to look, we begin to desire things. I believe God would have us look beyond superficial beauty. I go to retirement home every week, and I'm just amazed at these, you know, I could say cute little old ladies, but in their 80s and 90s, and let's face it, their days of superficial beauty are probably over. You know, certainly to their companions, probably they're more beautiful, and that's the way God intended it to be. But to a young man and a young girl, you probably wouldn't look on them and say, oh, they're just beautiful. But I'm just amazed at how they paint themselves up, doll themselves up. You know, the lipstick is all over the face. You know, and they just really think they're something. But their superficial beauty has begun to decay. And the Bible lets us know that beauty's vain. Amen. And that the outward beauty is going to decay. But it's the inward man that can be renewed. And it's that beauty that we should seek and desire. And so, young people, as we look and as we aspire to be all that God would like us and would have us to be, I want to talk to you a little bit about that intrinsic beauty on the inside. Oh, I know, and I've preached on the home many times, and I don't believe God would have us marry someone who we just think is downright ugly. You know, sometimes young people think, oh, mom and dad, you know, tell me this one's not good looking. You know, I can't go with this one, and they're concerned about that one, and I guess I'm just going to marry someone that's ugly. I don't think that God has that in mind at all. That God knows that we have to wake up every morning next to them, and that we have to see them, and we have to live with them, and be beside them, and dwell with them. Certainly, God's gonna there's gonna be a sense of outward attraction, but there's also a danger there, because like Jezebel of old, we could go to that story. Superficial beauty is vain, the Bible says. It's empty. And you will find, as you're around people like that, often, if it's not the one God has in mind for you, that inwardly they're ugly. Often I've heard, you know, you can look on people and I'll hear someone say, oh, but their attitude's terrible. Stinks. And young people, the things that really should attract us, and as I was thinking about my companion some time back, many years ago now, that things that were attractive to me was purity, which is almost lost in young people today. Pure minds, pure bodies. Amen. Someone who's kept himself clean from the world's defilement. Someone who has a good attitude. This is what's beautiful. You can take the most beautiful woman in all the world, or the most handsome man, walks around with a big frown on his face, treats his neighbor bad, treats children poorly. Amen's disrespectful, and that makes them ugly. I don't care how attractive they are on the outside, it's ugly. Right. Amen. Young brother and things that should be attracted to us and sisters is how do they treat children? How do they work with children? Are they respectful to their parents? Amen. Because down the road, the Bible says he would that younger women marry and bear children. That's the natural progression of a marriage, is that you have, that's God's plan, you have children. So the way they handle children, amen, is going to be the way they handle children in the home. Amen. And the way they handle your children. And so, ladies, as you look on a man, a man, is he a hard worker? Talking about intrinsic beauty, that which is on the inside, not just the outside. Is he respectful to his parents? Amen. Does he get involved in the youth activities? Is he active in the work of God? Is he respectful to you? Does he treat you well? Oh, marriage will change all. No, marriage won't change that. If anything, it makes it worse many times. Amen. Because you get that law-binding agreement, and then they act like animals. Many times. Amen. The best, the most, the best looking, the handsomest, the best acting they're ever going to be. Amen. Unless God goes on the scene in a greater way, or they yield themselves, is during the dating scene. You get into, and you get more comfortable around your companion, get into marriage. Amen. Then they sort of let the guard down. That happens many times in homes. And so there's warning signs, young people, that we can see, and God would like to help us. I'm talking tonight about an inward beauty that every one of us should really seek. Amen. To allow God to beautify us. What kind of beautiful qualities does God want to beautify? Our text says He would beautify, not just make beautiful. You're beautiful. Every one of you is beautiful tonight. But God wants to beautify you. That's a progressive verb there, where He wants to work on you and make you more beautiful. Amen. How does He make you more beautiful? As you yield to His Spirit. As you look in, I showed you a mirror a minute ago. Now, this is the world's mirror. I realize we use it. Nothing wrong with that. We want you to fix yourselves up. We want you to shower. We want you to put on some good smelling juices. Because we don't want to be around you when the BO comes out. Amen. We want these things, and there's nothing wrong with that. Amen. I've heard the older ones say that soap's too cheap and water too abundant not to shower. And that's true. Amen. The dollar store is full of soap. You can get plenty of soap. We want you to do those things. But where is the Christian's mirror? James, the first chapter, lets us know that this is the mirror. Over in James, let me just give you a few verses there. Amen. How do we see what our intrinsic beauty is all about? And how do we beautify our lives? Go over to James just quickly. Amen. James, the first chapter. Let's get a few verses there. James 1:22. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. But if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face, outward face, in a glass, or the Greek says mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man is he. But whoso looketh on the perfect law of liberty, the word of God, and continueth therein. In other words, as God reveals things to you and you walk in it, and God reveals some more things to you and you walk in that, you're continuing in the perfect law of liberty. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The Christian's mirror is the word of God. And as we come to service, as the different ones exhort, testimonies, we read the word of God ourselves in our private devotions and studies, God seeks to beautify us. Amen. And work on us. And that's how we become more beautiful. And I want to say tonight that it's important, as we consider self-image for a little bit tonight and what we think of ourselves, it's important that we love ourselves. And what I mean by that, I don't mean an arrogant pride or a superficial pride, but I mean a pride that tells you to clean yourself up. Dress up when it's time for church. Shave. Amen. If it's necessary. And clean yourself up. That kind of pride. That's important. If someone walks around all the time saying, as that old nursery rhyme I thought about it, I was studying, nobody likes me, everybody hates me. Yes, I'll tell you the word. I'm the most ugliest thing that ever walked this planet. If that's the way you feel, guess what? Others aren't going to want to be around you much.
Right.
You've got to have a sense of pride. You've got to appreciate. And I want to tell you, back when God created humanity, He said it was very good. In other words, if you look into the old Hebrew, you'll find that it was as good as it could possibly be. You are as good, tall Paul, as you could possibly be at this juncture. Now God wants to beautify you. But you get what I'm saying? That people think that they're going to do this. And I got to do that. As if barn paint, you know, and the outward adornment, the jewelry and the road paint and the barn paint and the red and all these things, as if that would beautify them. No. The beauty that God gives is of far greater value than the superficial beauty. You go to the dollar store and you find the lipstick, but the intrinsic beauty, like patience, like love, like joy, you don't find it there. It costs much more. Amen. It's by yielding your life to God. And this self-image that we have of ourselves, it's important. Again, I say that you have a sense of pride, that you realize, okay, I am what I am. I may only be 5'2". I may be 6'4". Amen. I may have a larger stature. I may have a smaller stature. But you know what? I am what I am. God made me. Amen. He made me very good, the Bible says. He made me exactly what I should be. And yes, He wants to work and make me more beautiful. But I'm going to be content with what I am. I'm not going to be discontent. Not going to go around, and I know we don't have a lot of parents here, but parents play a big part in this. But parents always running down their child, it's going to have an effect on them. Parents must be positive with their child. You're beautiful. You're handsome. Daddy loves you. Mommy loves you. Those are words of gold. Words that mean everything to a child. I know I work with young people, and many young people, if they don't get it in the home, they're out here seeking for it from others, from teachers. All the time, throughout the day. Mr. Stegmaier, listen to this. Mr. Stegmaier, I want to show you this. Mr. Stegmaier, listen to this. What do they want? They're wanting confirmation from an adult figure in their life that they appreciate, that they value. And so it is, young people. Amen. Appreciate. If no one else tells you, I'm going to tell you. You're beautiful.
Right.
You are. You're exactly what God made you to be. Amen. There's no reason to run out to the world. Amen. There's no reason to take part in these outward adornments, the earrings. Amen. All these things are a sign of the blackness of the heart. The sign of, you know, when young people run away from truth, what's the first thing that's let go of? It's the outward standard.
Right.
Cutting of the hair. Amen. Jewelry. Makeup. Why? They're only showing to you that within there's blackness. Amen. There's rebellion. At the seed of it all, there's rebellion. Amen. And what you have, the world wants. When they see a young people, I remember years ago, I have three sisters, and they're all in the church and active. You know, most of you know them. And I remember there was a very prominent family in the community, very wealthy family. And they always said, I remember them telling my sisters, I have to wear makeup, but you guys just have natural beauty. You don't have to wear makeup. That wasn't it so much. Amen. Obviously, we didn't wear makeup. Obviously, the Bible teaches against it. And that's why they didn't wear makeup. But from her opinion, looking on, they were just naturally beautiful. Well, everyone's naturally beautiful when God moves in. Because He gives you a beauty. And so if nothing else tonight, I want you to take away, young people, that you're beautiful. Amen. You're what God made you to be. And while there's many pressures around us, amen, in school, many of you are in school, and your friends at school and your peers may present pressures to you. Amen, we're doing this. We're tattooing our body. We're taking part in this. You should do it. Realize that you don't need to do those things to make yourself beautiful. You are beautiful. Americans spend a whopping $33.3 billion a year on cosmetics, lipstick, amen, other outward adornment. The average amount of money women spend on makeup has surprised the nonprofit YWCA. Two, in a recent report, they found an increasing obsession with being beautiful, no matter what the cost. The report, Beauty at Any Cost, noted U.S. women spend about $7 billion a year on cosmetics and beauty products. One chief executive for this company said, "We believe that the obsession with idolized beauty and body image is a lifelong burden that takes a terrible toll on all young women, girls, and women in this country." And while I'm speaking to young people, I believe it works on all of us. I see many older ladies that should have gray hair. Where is it? Where is it? The Bible says it's a glory. It's a sign of wisdom. But the carnality in people today, fleshliness, wants to cover it up. Cover it up. Cover it up. Don't be ashamed of it. I tell our sisters at home, don't be ashamed. You worked hard to get that gray hair. Why cover it up now? Right. Amen. There's something that just doesn't add up. You see an older sister, and don't try to hide your age. Amen. You start looking close, you can pretty well tell where people are at. They cover it up, you wonder, what on earth? Seeing old grandma in the rest home with dark black jet hair, something's wrong. And you know that. So I say it works on all of us. But I'm talking mainly to young people tonight. Amen. And so we have pressures, and we realize that. I, as a father, realize that there are pressures all around us. Amen. During our recent recession here a few years back, I read where one of the only industries that actually was making a profit during that time was the cosmetic industries. And they said because people still wanted to look good. Amen. During that period of time. In an article I gleaned, False Beauty and Advertising and the Pressure to Look Good, they said from smoothing skin and erasing wrinkles to enlarging muscles and slimming waist, airbrushing or photoshopping, men and women to so-called perfection is the norm in advertising. We must realize, young people, as we look out, we're in grocery stores, and you see those terrible images on those magazines and those aisles that you check out. You're almost forced to look at it because it's right there when you walk through. That's not reality. Many of those images have been altered. And that's just like sin. It's deceptive. It makes itself look good. And that's what's attractive. That's what makes you want to do it. Amen. But it's a deceptive beauty. Amen. Don't let these pressures wear on you, young people. Young sisters, leave your hair alone. Amen. It's a glory to have long, uncut, untrimmed hair. That's God's plan. And it's a glory. And it's beautiful. Nothing more beautiful than long, beautiful hair. You say, how long? Uncut. Some people can't grow it very long. But if it's uncut, it's a glory to you. And that's exactly how God intended it to be. Amen. And young brothers, short hair. Amen. Cut hair is a sign to you of godliness. Amen. And that's what God intended. Last year, amen, there was a portfolio of 172 studies to the Advertising Standards Authority. And the industry watch dog in the UK, many of these studies show that over the long term, viewing pictures of these, quote, perfect bodies leads to severe pressures in adults and increasingly children. One study reported on girls aged 5 to 7 years of age who, when exposed to the images of thin doll-like Barbie, said they wanted to look thinner compared with those who saw dolls with a healthier body shape. From children's toys to TV programs, images of the idolized body have permeated every level of our visual culture. Of course, people aren't blind to this issue. But while the vast majority of people know the advertising images are enhanced and are impossible, it still hurts. The pressure to conform to such narrow ideals is overwhelming. Though some people dismiss this issue as trivial, they are ignoring what is in fact a growing public health problem. It's vital that we take steps now so that the members of the next generation will grow up learning to accept their bodies in a culture that celebrates health and confidence over a false ideal. Amen. That was from an article I took. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:29, though this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, righteous, the Hebrew says, but they have sought out many inventions. Amen. I want to talk to you a little bit here about your self-image. Your self-image. Amen. And I thought about some different people in our society. You young people, just a few more minutes here, I'll let you go. I know you have choir practice. Amen. But if I named off some people like Lady Gaga, kind of image comes to mind? Taylor Swift. Miley Cyrus. And
you older people might say, oh, he's crazy. No, the young people know what I'm talking about.
These pop icons permeate our culture. If you are living and breathing tonight, you probably have heard these names and probably have some sort of image associated with it. Miley Cyrus, LeBron James. He puts on a pair of shoes and look out. Everyone's out buying the shoes. Amen. Who else? How about the images on magazines like Teen Vogue, 17. 17's a magazine designed to show young ladies, amen, young people, what beauty is. Now, is that where beauty's found? Real, lasting beauty. Amen, all kinds of magazines. Discover a Pop Star, Boys Life, and I don't know a lot of these, I just found them online. But there's a lot of magazines out here that are around that influence us. I thought about how that sin, Mars image. What a terrible thing sin does. And young people tonight, I want you to encourage you. Your beauty is in your pure life and your obedience to God. That's what's beautiful. And that's what will keep you happy. People out here in the world, amen, I want to say, if this superficial beauty brought happiness, why is it always changing? You watch people. Now you watch. When they start, women start cutting their hair, it never stays one length. It's shorter, 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 different style, different style, shorter. When they start dyeing their hair, it's this color, and then it's that color, and then it's this color. Now, if these things brought happiness, why is it always changing?
Right.
But the saint of God looks the same. Looks the same. Looks the same. Is this a beautiful picture here? Who is this? Marilyn Manson. 45 years old is all he is. Is that a picture of a beautiful life? I just grabbed the one that came to mind off the internet. Marilyn Manson. But do you think that these images affect people? Self-image. How you feel about yourself. How you think others feel about you. These are all important, young people. And I want to encourage you tonight. Amen. Again, that God made you. Amen. And He made you the best possible you that you could be. So, be who you are. Amen. Appreciate what God's made in you. Be all that God would. Does it mean that you can't do better and that you can't be more? No. The Bible says He wants to beautify you. And He beautifies the meek or the humble with salvation. When God saves you, He makes you beautiful, but He wants to make you more beautiful. And as young people, as you're looking about and you're seeking companionship and you're seeking friendships, look for those that possess these beautiful qualities, these intrinsic qualities. Amen. That are kind, that are loving. Those young girls and young boys who want to be submissive, want to be obedient, want to obey what Brother Decker and the other ministers bring forth. They want to obey their pastor. Amen. That's beautiful.
Right.
What's ugly is rebellion. Amen. And so pray as you're looking about. Amen. Sometimes these things aren't always seen right away. But as you spend time with people and you see their actions and how they act and how they respond to situations, you get a real idea of what's down in the heart and what's in the inside. And I just want to encourage you in closing, again, to just be happy with who you are. I know this is a pressure. You know, the teen suicide is way up. It's an astronomical figure. And so often, suicide is brought on because people just don't like who they are. They're unhappy, is the bottom line. And for many reasons. Many of them come from very dysfunctional families and back home lives. Drugs, alcohol played a big part in this. But oh, how salvation makes us beautiful. Amen. Makes us happy with ourselves. Happy with who God. If you're unhappy at all, young people, tonight, I would encourage you to seek God's face.
really turn your life over to Him. When He saves you, He not only makes you beautiful to those around you, but He makes you feel good about yourself.
Right.
He gives you some confidence. The Bible says in God is strong confidence. He gives us confidence. Amen. To where we can get up, we can speak, we can talk, we can witness, and be happy with ourselves. Amen. Not walk around all the time complaining about our lumps and our curves and our whatever. We can be happy with ourselves. Young people, we love you. And God has made you beautiful. Be all God would have you to be. Keep submitting to Him, and God will continue to beautify your life. We love and appreciate you all.